And now to the recruiting challenge at the National Security Agency. The NSA's techniques for gathering emails and phone records have been controversial for some time, and that may be making it harder for the agency to recruit new codebreakers. NPR's Jeff Brumfield visited the NSA to see firsthand if the agency can still draw top math and computing talent.
They won't actually let me in the NSA, but they will let me stand in the parking lot. And there are a lot of cars around that big black monolith that we're all used to seeing on television.
Parking is a bit of a problem for employees.
Neil Ziering is a computer scientist at the NSA. And by the way, he doesn't like me describing the spy agency's buildings as big, menacing monoliths.
They're not meant to be intimidating. We need workspace for lots of employees.
Contrary to what you might believe about the NSA, it's not all supercomputers cracking those codes.
There's no such thing as a computer that can break any code. People like to think that there's some magic bullet here, and there isn't. It's all hard work.
Work done by a lot of people. Nationwide, the NSA employs roughly 35,000, and each year it must find new recruits to keep it at the cutting edge of code making and code breaking. It gets those recruits from places like Johns Hopkins University, which is just up the road from the NSA's Maryland headquarters. Matthew Green is a professor of computer science there. He says each year he has students going to work for the NSA.
Well, it ranges. Sometimes it's half a dozen, sometimes it's just one or two.
Johns Hopkins may be nearby, but it's not unique. The NSA recruits at hundreds of universities across the country. It's been that way for years, until 2013, when Edward Snowden leaked a huge trove of top-secret NSA documents. They showed the agency had a sweeping program that scooped up data from emails, phones, and elsewhere.
Before the Snowden leaks, we all looked at the NSA as basically being, you know, a spy agency, and they did what they were supposed to do, which is they found people who are threats to national security, and they listened into their traffic. But we've learned that they're collecting this incredible amount of information, and they're not shy about doing whatever they have to do to get access to that information.
Now Green doesn't feel as friendly towards the NSA as he once did. He thinks it's important people learn about the Snowden documents. He teaches about them in his classes to students like Daniel Swan.
I'm a fourth-year concurrent bachelor's, master's student in computer science here at Hopkins.
Swan grew up not too far from the NSA in Annapolis, Maryland, and he's exactly the type of person they would love to have working for them.
When I was a senior in high school, I thought I would end up working for a defense contractor or the NSA itself. That was actually a big priority for me. I wrote about that in my college essay, about how serving the country was important to me, things like that. But the past couple years, I can say that has definitely taken a different turn.
After Snowden and taking Matthew Green's class, Swan says he's changed his mind about the NSA.
I can't see myself working there in the near future, partly because of these moral reasons.
Someone like Daniel Swan is a fairly rare commodity. Hopkins is a big university, but this year, the school's Information Security Institute, which specializes in cybersecurity, will produce just 31 masters. And of those, just 5 are U.S. citizens, a requirement to work at the NSA. The agency must recruit hundreds of computer science and math students each year. How many, like Daniel Swan, are turning away because of the Snowden leaks?
That's kind of a tricky question.
That's Neil Ziering, the NSA researcher I met in the parking lot. Ziering also helps lead academic outreach for the agency.
When I've been out on campuses and talking to students, right, there are some of them that puts them off or makes them have doubts.
But honestly, Ziering says there's a much bigger problem.
I was at Dartmouth Career Fair a few months ago, and our table is sort of right across from Facebook. And we are looking for some of the same things that they are.
Ever since the Snowden leaks, cybersecurity has been hot in Silicon Valley. That's in part because the industry no longer trusts the government as much as it once did. Companies want to develop their own security, and they're willing to pay top dollar to get the same people the NSA is trying to recruit. Students like Daniel Swan. Last summer, Microsoft paid him $7,000 a month to be an intern. They even threw in a rental car.
It was actually really nice. It was a Subaru Legacy.
The NSA's Ziering says the agency can't compete on money, so he tries to sell it in other ways.
You know, we have good health benefits, and we're government, right? So we have a huge scope of insurance to choose from.
Can things like work-life balance and continuing education really attract young talent when the money is so good elsewhere? I put that question to one of the NSA's newest recruits.
My name is Alyssa. I've been working at NSA for just under 2 years.
The NSA won't tell me Alyssa's last name because her work is classified, but she's a mathematician in her mid-20s. She joined right as the Snowden documents were being made public. She wrestled with whether it was the right thing to do. Her mom wanted her to go for the big bucks.
She actually kind of held a grudge for a long time that I was not getting a higher-paying job.
But Alyssa came anyway, and she's glad she did.
I absolutely love what I'm doing now.
Which is classified, so she won't say anything more about it, except it's the kind of stuff she can't work on anywhere else. The NSA says that so far it's been able to find enough students like Alyssa, but it will keep having to make the hard sell. This year alone, the agency will need to hire a total of 1,600 new recruits. Jeff Brumfiel, NPR News, Washington.